For graphics and sound, out of 5, they gave it a 4.0. For play control, 4.4 out of 5, despite that being their biggest con.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Challenge, 4.6. That's a really high, like, it's a perfect level. It's a basketball game. Like, whatever. Theme and fun, 4.3 out of 5. On a 10-point scale, that would be an 8.6. That's a, I actually haven't played it. It always did look like fun. The arcade game's fun, so I don't disagree entirely, actually, but there's a little bit of hyperbole in there. Welcome to episode 128 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. My favorite letter is Y. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I struggle every time not to screw that up during every intro.
My name is Jason Lamb, and I'm your resident Canadian. And like always, I have not prepared a thing to say.
Top notch, guys. Top notch. It's good.
Worst round of introductions of all time. That was worse right there.
No, I was just going to say that I still have people contacting me on Twitter about how funny it was when I mixed up the words co-community manager. So.
Co-community lamager.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was, but I'm sure somebody will remind me.
Probably. So. Yeah, I like how you guys insist that you struggle with it, you never plan anything, and yet you always say something different anyway. I mean, it's not that hard. Like,
well, I do try to plan it. Like, I'll think of something funny, like, during the day, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm saying that. That's intro done. And then usually it'll come around, and I'm like, oh, crap, what was that thing?
Yeah. Tonight I forgot to write anything in. That was why I paused for a weird moment. And that's the first thing I thought of. It's true. It wasn't even like a made-up stupid thing. It's actually true.
Yeah, good.
All right, enough navel-gazing. Yeah. Have you guys played any old video games this week? Because it's really what we're supposed to be.
Navel-gazing?
That's the act of, you know, talking about yourself too much. Not really. It's actually part of a culture. You know what? Never mind.
I thought it was the act of staring at navels.
You know, it's figurative, you know. It's a thing.
Like how you can turn a phrase.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Or.
I've been playing Chrono Trigger.
How's that going?
I'm about tired of it.
No, really? That sucks.
What?
Yeah.
But it's like the most legendary, all-time greatest game ever, Hunter.
No, don't get me wrong. It's a pretty good game. Like. On the surface, it's a very good game. I have enjoyed as much as I possibly can up to the point that I am at, and I'm starting to feel now that I'm forcing myself to play this game, which ultimately leads me to not liking the game. There's a ton of stuff that's great about this game. I mean, I talked a lot about it, you know, in the last episode, and I still feel those ways about this game, but I also feel that once they kind of let the reins off and allow you to explore and practically do whatever you want, like, I immediately lose interest. And it's not because I don't know what I want to do or I have no need to do what I want to do. It's There aren't any interesting characters really to talk to anymore. One of the things I really enjoyed, and I know I'm going to get ridiculed for this, but still one of my favorite RPG games of all time is Super Mario RPG.
No, I will defend you forever.
And one of the big reasons for that is because even though there are very many, many, many characters and NPCs that you meet throughout that game, 80% of them are unnecessary and technically don't do anything to help you prolong the game or to move the story along. but they're still interesting to talk to. Perfect example would be when you're at Rosewood, Rosemary, the cathedral. What was the name of that area?
Yeah. Yeah. Marymore.
Marymore. I was way off. All of the people who are standing in line to get their photo taken, they all have something super interesting to say. You know, like,
oh, yeah, yeah. And you can talk to like every single one.
Right. I understand that this game's a lot about time travel. So when you leap from time period to another time period, practically nothing has changed. And I get that. But if I talk to the same person two times in a row after jumping different time periods and they still say the same thing, like, why are they still relevant? You know, like, I just feel that they put a lot of time and effort and good time and good effort into like the battle system and into the core characters and how their stories arc, but they kind of forgotten about what I would consider, you know, like the dressing of the game, or even the tangible side items of the game. So I've committed myself to play it for another day, to try to give it another hour to 2 hours of gameplay, and if I just can't get my hooks back in it, like, I'm putting it back on the shelf.
I fear for the continued popularity of our podcast. I mean, you have a brass set of balls, my friend. Like, there's not a lot of people out there willing to publicly say, Chrono Trigger's not the greatest game. There's not a lot of people out there.
Now, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it is a great game. It's just not a great game for me. Like, I play so few RPGs that I am a big stickler about the games that I play. I can count the number of RPG games I have played and enjoyed on my hand, because those are the ones that I've completed 100%. And Chrono Trigger is not going to be on that list for me.
While we're bearing our souls a little bit, I kind of feel a little bit of the frequency you're on, because as I've gotten older and busier and have a life, I feel like, because I don't have time for RPGs, I like them so much less now. Like, I have Pier Solar, whatever, that game that came out. I have it.
Does everybody have this game but me?
Yeah, I don't have it.
I have it, but I haven't started it. People are like, what? You haven't started it? I'm like, yeah.
It's a huge commitment, man.
I have yet to have a moment in the past, however long I've had this game, where I've been sitting down and I've thought, I really want to dig into an RPG. And even hearing myself say that is crazy, because that used to be something that would just thrill me. Like, I mean, when you're like a kid or even a teenager, and like summer rolls around, you're not in school, even in college, you can stay up all night, whatever. Like, it's like, yeah, this huge media experience, I'm gonna really, you know, chew on it and really just care about it. I'm just not there anymore. I'm okay with it, but oh, man, it's weird.
And it's not that I don't want to. Like, I see these games on my shelf, and I'm like, I really want to get into this game. And I know that I'll be hooked for a couple of hours, and then I'll start nitpicking, and I'll start tearing the game apart, and I will ultimately just put it away. And then when people bring it up, they're like, oh, yeah, did you like that game? I was like, yeah, I liked it. But I didn't. That's what I've come to realize, is that there are games that I like, and there are games that I will completely shut the world out to play. You know, like, it's okay. I love this game now. It's like, no, I love playing Chrono Trigger. I don't like it. I'm not in like with it.
It's like that friend you're okay hanging out with in a group. Like, they add something. Like, they're not completely valueless. But you would never be like the first person to call them up and be like, hey, you want to hang out, man? Like, we got to get together. Like,
just you and me. The most awkward ever.
I like the way you discuss games, Hunter. It's cool the way you phrase things. You wouldn't have happened to have written maybe a 300-word first impressions piece about Chrono Trigger, would you have?
I did. I plugged it last episode. You guys never listen to me.
I went and read it. I'm letting you
plug
it again.
Yeah. Damn it, Tundra.
I'll probably write another one.
I got it.
I'll probably write another one.
Yeah.
Do like my final thoughts.
Plug whatever.
Kind of thing.
Plug your site. And we have different people.
Oh, okay. Fine. Created by the man, the myth, the legend, Eric Mother Hunter, please check out ericmhunter.net.
All right. Jason, help me out here. Have you been playing any old video games?
I have. So I'm. A while back, I bought
about it?
We can. I bought a Sega pack on Steam. They re-released a bunch of old Sega games.
Oh, I forgot to buy that. It was like $7, like 150 games or something like that.
No, this is a different one. This is like a bunch of Dreamcast era games.
Oh, boo, boo, boo.
Anyway, so I'm playing. I've decided to boot up Sonic Adventure 2, and I loved this game when it was ported to the GameCube. Like, I played the crap out of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, which was like a. I don't know if it was like a proper seat. It had more content from with the original game. The game's not that good. It's not that good. It's how do I put it? It was great in like 2003.
I'm not sure if I would even go there.
It was enjoyable in 2003. But it sounds... it's
the only thing that's changed is you.
Right. So, I'll start with the voice acting. It sounds like it was dubbed over by a group of high school students who got access to, like, a laptop. They're like, oh, we'll dub over some animation. The voice acting is just brutal. Everyone sounds like... the quality's terrible. It sounds like it was recorded in a cardboard box. The characters sound stupid. Even when they introduce Shadow for the first time, who's like the anti-Sonic, and he just comes off as a tool. I'm the ultimate life form. Sonic's like, oh, damn you, fake hedgehog.
Exactly.
I'm like, no, he's a hedgehog. I don't know.
Kick him in his head. It's not. Yeah.
It's so uneven. And even like there's this in the beginning scene, Sonic's on the run from a bunch of planes and tanks and blah blah blah. Military. He's kidnapped or something. Breaks out. Breaks off a piece of the helicopter he was in. Falls down to the ground and uses the piece of helicopter blade or whatever as like a surfboard to surf down the San Francisco streets. Which, in theory, is kind of cool.
A little bit, yeah.
Execution, yeah, not so much. But the worst part, you get to the end of this level, and there's this massive truck that's behind you, barreling down. And it takes up both lanes, and it's knocking cars over, but there is literally no threat, because it can never catch up to you unless you crash into something. And the game does such a good job of autopiloting for you that you will not crash into a car on the sides. The only way you would is if you took your thumbstick and somehow decide, you know what, I need to just ram this to the left and continually hold that there.
I need to end Sonic's life right now.
I need to just make it end.
I need to intentionally let's just end it now.
Like, the enemies in the levels are boring. It's like, okay, it's a robot. I don't have to fight you. I'm just going to walk by you. See ya. See ya, robot.
I didn't play a game that I get to trash too much. I
apologize if I offended anyone.
No, I love it. You have a I've said I'm going to say this like every week now, but you have a gift for deconstructing the classics. if either of you can remember the episode where you talk about Wind Waker, that's I need to like make a note.
Yeah,
like,
that was a good
highlights.
One.
That was
pretty.
That
good.
That was beautiful. Like. That's something I would listen to a podcast and enjoy. Like that's what the show's all about.
Jason dumping all over the classics.
I'll start another podcast where I just rant about a game each week.
I see you've said that before too, but I have good news.
Blame Bailey.
Good news.
I didn't play a game.
And he also has Bailey news.
No, see, yeah, I tried to play a game. I attempted to play a game, but I couldn't figure out. I needed Jason, and I didn't.
What? does that mean?
It's a... See, this version of the file is not compatible with the version of Windows you're running. I'm trying it now. I might need DOSBox is what I'm hearing with a little research. So here's what I did. I heard that there is a game called Street Fighter Gen. It's J-E-N-N. You can Google this. And it's the closest thing there's ever been to a Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome, but it's not quite what it lives up to be. It's not it's not actually X-Men and Street Fighter. She took Street Fighter 2, I think Championship Edition, and she took out two of the characters and put in two X-Men characters, Melina and Katana. So there's no additional characters, but there's a little bit of Mortal Kombat in there. There's two Mortal Kombat characters and a couple Mortal Kombat stages. I wanted to just try and play it, see what it's like, and I'm a tech dinosaur, you guys know this. So I downloaded it, and I was all excited. I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was like an arcade game. I don't know what's going on. I don't...
It's not very good.
Yeah, the more I read about it, the less good it sounds.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that I at least found it. Like, whoever made it, that's kudos to you. It's cool that you put in that effort. Like, I respect it. I wanted to play it. But I couldn't get it to work. So that's what I bring to the podcast. Not my experience playing the game, but my news of discovering the game. Bailey had never heard of Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat before. Street Fighter Gen. Didn't play it.
All right. I don't know what's worse. Well.
There you go. Done and done.
Sweet.
What's wrong?
Help! Someone is following me!
Some kind of weirdo?
We do have a listener email discussion question this week. Should we go ahead and tackle that? Should we? Whatever. Let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Listener email discussion question this week goes like this. Hey, Podcastle of House One More. Been and am watching Game of Thrones Season 4 as I type this. Don't judge me. Long time, first time. I got one simple question, hopefully a good thinking question, and a suggestion for a segment on the podcast. So let's try to make this quick. First question, the easy one, and will be answered with a yes, I hope. Will one more Podcastle be at Midwest Gaming Classic this year? Do you guys want me to take this one?
Yeah.
Answer's no. Feel free to insert a sad trombone. We're still more in the mode where we like to try and do like a new event every year just because we're limited in our ability to do a whole lot. So we like to bounce around, try new stuff. But yeah... I'm not going to draw out some long story. It is Midwest Gaming Classic is not in the cards this year. We have been there, and it was fun.
And we do need to go back.
We do need to go back. Yeah, we don't want to put up some front, like, make it look like we don't like it or like we're boycotting it. That's not the situation at all. We went because it was a good target for us, and it still is. So, but... Sad trombone. Not going this year. Thanks for asking, though. Like, that's very kind of you. I'm touched. Here you are, your first email to us after being a long-time listener, and I gotta, you know, flick you on the heart a little bit. Just thunk. Take that. I'm a heart flicker. That's what I do. Second question. What is one of your favorite horror games? Mine is either Fatal Frame 2 or Clock Tower for the Super Nintendo. Oh, someone's got good taste. What do you guys think? Favorite horror games? That's a good, always a fun question.
Before I say it, side note, I got Street Fighter game working. You have to run DOSBox.
I'll just download DOSBox. I thought it would be like an emulator, like a main.
Nah, you gotta
leave
run
it to
DOSBox.
The PC Master Race.
Yeah.
In terms of horror games. I really have fond memories of Eternal Darkness. Mm. Pretty sure if I go back, it'll come off as kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Alien versus Predator 2, before that series of games went to hell, the Marine campaign was terrifying when I played it. Go ahead.
Can I point something out real quick? Just very quickly. I'm amused by the dichotomy here. Jason Lam, 10 minutes ago, just crapping all over Sonic Adventure 2 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the sentence he just... Did you hear the sentence he just spoke earnestly, straight-facedly? Alien versus Predator 2, before that series went to hell. Like, what? Acting like this is some vaunted series. Sonic, blah, whatever. But Alien versus Predator, there's a classic series.
If you play Alien versus Predator 1, Alien versus Predator 2, there's some good games.
Legendary franchise. Oh, this is the man who plays Mega Man 2 without the sound, though. So who am I?
Come on.
I'm done. Keep talking. I'm so sorry.
Listen, you're lucky I stopped bringing mods.
Are we?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Hunter, don't encourage him.
I could go either way.
What about you, Hunter?
Eternal Darkness for sure. Fatal Frame, definitely one of my favorite horror games. Still creeps me out today. I think I played it for like 4 hours straight and kind of had nightmares after that, so I haven't played it. Doom is definitely still one of my favorite horror games.
It's
as silly as it sounds, because the idea of being one, you know, the one against many, like on a crazy world, hell, Mars.
It's a hellscape, definitely.
Yeah. The whole, just, you can hear them. You can't see them, but you can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you open that door and there's like 30 of them and they all turn and look directly at you. Like, I still jump when those things happen.
Yeah. One of them roars and you piss your pants a little bit. But you can't run away. You got to fight. Doom is definitely a must play game. It's one of those games that 10 years from now, there's going to be kids looking it up on the internet, hearing about it maybe, and be like, this looks super lame, but you have to play it. You have to play it. I played it and enjoyed it a lot.
It's good.
But I mean, I'm. It's funny because Midwest Gaming Classic memory. A lot of so-called retro gamers consider the three of us to be youngsters.
Yeah,
but
that
I am
weird.
Old enough to remember when Doom was like spreading like wildfire. You were like threatening, like, punch your friend in the face, but he didn't let you borrow Doom and get it on your computer. It's like, you have Doom? You didn't tell me? Like, going over to friends' houses, not because you liked them, but because they had Doom. You could play it there. That was a reality.
It's a great game.
Classic, so good. He actually stole my answer. I thought I was going to be cool and say Clock Tower. I played it on PS1, though, I guess. I haven't played the Super Nintendo version, now that I realize.
Weird. Yeah, I mean, I've seen tons of videos and, what do you call them?
Let's Plays.
Playthroughs? Let's Plays.
Playthroughs works, too. Playthroughs, it's also.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued to play it. I would like to play it, but I got a lot of games.
If you're scared by hearing stuff you can't see, Clock Tower is the ultimate, I can hear you, but I can't see you. Scary. If that, I'm just hearing him, like, getting louder and louder as he comes closer. Oh, man. Then the moment when, like, he kicks the door down and real loud, and then, man.
So I guess I need to play this game, then.
Yeah. Might be right up your alley, man. That's all I'm saying. Woo. Getting excited just thinking about it, you know?
There you go.
We have some times. I love Resident Evil 4, though. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
So well made in every way.
Yeah.
Sound, gameplay, level design, enemy design. I know, Hunter. I know you're not the biggest fan, but it's my jam.
I'll admit, I didn't give RE4 a lot of time. So,
is there any one thing you didn't like about it?
Sadly, I missed the tank controls.
Oh, God.
I wasn't a big fan of the way that the aiming mechanic worked.
Have you played the Wii edition?
No, I will never play the Wii edition.
Oh, see, that's crazy. I love the Wii edition because you aim in real time. There's no like moving the sticks to aim. You just aim and fire. Just a personal, controversial opinion of my own, but that's so good.
I have yet to play a game that was not Wii Sports that worked with that stupid controller.
Resident Evil 4 is one of them. I swear it's good. I promise you.
I don't know if I could break down and buy another copy of it because I've already got it on the GameCube or the PS2 or something.
All right. Well, he actually says a little bit more to his email. Last but not least, my suggestion. A while ago, you looked in your old gaming magazines for reviews, and it got me thinking, what if each week a different host grabs an old game magazine and picks out one review and discusses what writer was saying? I'm sorry, I think what the writer was saying still holds up. Maybe call it retro review or retro throwback. Just some ideas I came up with. Sorry for the long email. I've been wanting to send this out since that episode. Keep up the great work. Justin, a.k.a. the Sigma Omega. Not the worst idea. I mean, my only thing is I don't have the biggest collection of old. I only have like 4 or 5 Nintendo Powers anymore. I used to have a lot more.
I got maybe 40 Nintendo Powers and then about 30 like GamePro EGM stuff.
I agree with the idea though. It would be interesting to find an old review like written then and be like, I mean, it's a Nintendo 64 game. What do people think of that game now? Obviously, Nintendo Power, maybe not the best choice, but that'd be funny. The only thing is, we try and keep the show around an hour. We often go a little bit over. I can't imagine adding a whole nother segment. But I can imagine that being a good go-to for, like, an awkward music break on the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Filling a dull void in the cover. Whatever. So,
separate show.
You got the magazine.
It doesn't help. I literally don't have any magazines.
Yep. See, Jason. Then I'll play video games. So, Hunter, all yours. Your project, man.
Fantastic.
It's like I can't. Yeah, can't add it as a segment to this show, but it's a good enough suggestion that you've made us think about it. So,
just give me a name, and I'll start working on it.
Did what this writer say about this game still hold up now?
So turn it into an acronym.
Diggle Wiggle Ner.
Yeah, I like that. Diggle Wiggle Ner. Welcome to episode 104 of Diggle Wiggle Ner.
No, that's not.
This week we'll be discussing.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave it out to the listeners and the live stream commenters. If you come up with a fairly decent show title, I can start on this show next week. Boom. That's all I need.
Okay.
And if somebody would like to contribute, maybe like some theme music at, you know, before or after, kind of make it flesh it out.
There you go. That's cool. Justin, also, never apologize for a long email. First of all, yours is actually pretty average length. We sometimes get some epic, like super too long, sometimes really short. That's fine. But yours is fine. Never apologize for it. In fact, if anyone else wants to send us an email, we will read it on the show and talk about it. The email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. I don't need a special subject or header or whatever. Just send us an email. We get it. It's all we use that account for. If we get an email, we use it on the show. That's how it works. I mean, yeah. So, again, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Email us right now. If you're doing this on a computer, open a browser tab. Open your email.
Control-T.
Yeah, and just shoot us an email right now.
Doesn't have to be incognito. Just, you know, it's just a regular browser tab. Not doing anything illegal.
We've actually, I'll go ahead and say this for the first time ever in the 2.5, it's officially 2.5 now, years we've been doing this.
Oh, Jesus.
We've always taken, right? We're halfway to 5. We've always taken questions, but if you just want to send us a thought, we'll read it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a, it doesn't have to be a question. Just be like, hey guys, I really like this game. Have you ever played it? Well, that's still a question.
Well, you
but
could
no,
be
you
like,
get what I mean.
I played through this. These, here are my opinions on the game.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of a really funny joke. Insert bad video game joke here. Hey, did you guys hear about... Well, still... I'm bad at thinking of non-questions, apparently, but you can just we want to hear from you. Yeah. We like people and gamers and old video games.
For a while, so we were toying around with the idea of possibly people like paying an extremely small wage for us to say whatever they wanted us to say.
Yeah. If you, like, $3, we will read whatever. You want us to advertise for your thing?
We will promote anything.
I'll do it for $1.50.
Literally anything. Oh, damn. I'll do it for Canadian money.
He'll do it for loonies and toonies, ladies and gentlemen. Loonies and toonies.
I'll do it for $8. If you pay me $8, I'll do it.
All right, I'm going to do it for free now. That's, yeah.
I will pay you
will
to read
pay you.
Whoa,
make
whoa,
me
okay.
read something.
And just between you and me and the trees, the live stream may only get a dozen usually on a good week, but a lot, trust me, like hundreds of people actually do. Check the episodes out. So it's not like you're wasting your money. It actually does get hurt.
I mean, I hope so. I put a lot of work into it.
So, right. While we're doing official site announcements, let's get through a couple. I have a sudden, like just minutes before the podcast, got the word from the man behind the curtain. Did you guys get the email? Did you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well,
I do.
Guess
yeah.
what, everyone? Guess what, everyone?
We're canceling the website.
Review.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Oh, it's dead. It's gone. We're shooting it in the face. We're taking it out in the back. Putting the zapper up to its jaw.
Put you down, dog.
Actually, Hunter, just the opposite. Review a Great Game Day is officially on April 8th. If you don't know, this is an annual gaming holiday. Apparently it's gaining steam because the whole reason we had to have an email conversation is that people on Twitter are already talking about it, and not to us, One More Castle, who founded the event, who run the official website for the event. Like, it's become an official holiday. Like, so celebrate with us. April 8th, review a great game day. The whole idea is you just make a review, write, video, whatever, of a good game. It's an occasion to celebrate the positive in gaming. Instead of debating, complaint, just celebrate a game you like. And don't argue with people over what they pick. Just join them in joy. So more details will go up on onemorecastle.com very soon. I promise you that. But just mark your calendars April 8th. The plan is that submissions will open April 7th for you to actually submit your review. And then April 8th, they go live. That's how it works. I mean, you can write it now if you want. You won't be able to submit it until then. A lot of people get confused. They're like, we can't write it. No, you can write it. Like, just hit the save button on your word processor, dummy. I mean, but, yeah. So start writing your reviews now. It's official. It's on. We're doing it again. It's going to be a blast. Always a lot of fun. So review a great game day, April 8th. See you there. Start spreading the word. Okay, guys. It's time for a music break. And we're back. That was Grandpa and the Delightful Tadpoles by The Tsunami Effect. A remix from Super Mario RPG off the Heavy Troopa is Ready to Launch collection. Some good simple music stuff right there. I know I've been doing the Super Mario RPG stuff a lot. I need to step my game up, find some new talent out there. So if you, dear audience, know of any great chiptune artists, remixers, nerdcore, chip hop rappers, whatever, let me know. Tell us. You can tweet us at One More Castle, or we actually have a musician suggestion form on the website. Might need to blow the dust and the cobwebs off that one, huh? We'll be promoting it soon, because I need to get back on the trolley on that. Look at me using 1890s slang. Speaking of old-timey slang, it's time for the best part of our show, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
That's right. For anyone who doesn't know, Retro Showdown really is the best part of our show, because what we've done is each of us has secretly selected an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, taking turns, not like all at the same time, you know, 1 minute Royal Rumble free-for-all, that'd be ridiculous. And then we'll spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part, is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com. So, Monday morning when that episode goes up, the poll is going to go up. Hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. I certainly want you to vote for my game. That's why I'm going to argue on its behalf. But at the very least, even though we really do want you to vote, we get a lot of fun out of that and leave comments and argue with each other on the episode page as well. At the very least, we hope to entertain you by insulting each other. That's our hope. So, without further ado...
Usually works out.
Yeah.
It's a pretty consistent formula here. Two episodes ago, our theme was glove-wearing protagonists. I'm sad to say I did not win with James Buster Douglas's knockout boxing. Did not win. In fact, this may have been a first. I didn't get any votes.
That's amazing.
And it's not like nobody showed up to the polls, because we hit double-digit votes for the winner. But I got zero. I usually get at least one person who feels sorry for me, or one weirdo, one person trying to be funny.
Lost your fan club there, bro.
My influence is gone. And Hunter, you didn't win either. South Park 64 got half the votes of our winner, Jason, with Spider-Man 64. We all know it was one of the weakest showdowns we've ever had, but we say that every other week.
It's pretty bad.
Congratulations, Jason.
The best Spider-Man game for the N64.
If there's going to be a week you can win, you can have that week. But I thought, nobody wanted to vote for Buster Douglas? Nobody? Jeez. I had a streak going for a little while.
Makes sense to me.
I go on hiatus, I come back, I win a few. It was tired of me real quick. I go away for another 2 months. So, tonight, different theme though. Whole new ball game. Tonight's theme is games with pathway choices. So it's games in which you don't necessarily have to play through the levels in a certain order. There's options there. You can pick the order you complete the game in. So I, for one, am looking forward to the games you guys are going to bring. And I know what game I'm bringing. So Jason... traditionally, you're the timekeeper. If you got 1 minute on the clock, I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
Oh, I do. All right, you may begin.
So, I'll be honest. I actually don't remember this game very well. But from what I understand, it sounds like a can't-miss, surefire proposition. I mean, I remember the television show. The cartoon was pretty darn good. I liked it. My friends liked it. We talked about it. The universe it takes place in is exciting. It made you want to be the characters and be alongside of them. And when you put it on one of my favorite consoles, the NES, I mean, gosh, you have a game that just can't go wrong. You have The Uncanny X-Men for NES, made by LJN, released in 1989. You can choose which X-Men character you are and choose the level. I mean, I love little customization options like that. Anytime you empower the player, you're on my good side. So Hey, haven't played it in a very long time, but it's X-Men. What could go wrong?
It's the official title.
X-Men.
You know, I
love X-Men.
All right.
Man, Wolverine with his claws. Such a good character.
Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You may begin.
After so many terrible iterations with a cartoon show that was beloved, a game that was released on probably my favorite console, the Sega Genesis, it's X-Men. Released in 1993. You can pick whatever X-Men you want to pick. And with a very intricate code at the beginning of the game, you can also select which stage you would like to choose. So you don't have to play the game in order if you don't want to. Not only do you have a barrage of X-Men to play as, but you've got like sidekick X-Men too. You can mix and match. I mean, it's probably the best X-Men game to be released in a super long time. Way better than that crappy NES one. Man.
Hunter is so happy right now.
I was blown away. It's like, really? You picked that one? All right, well, I almost picked Wolverine. I remembered how terrible that game was.
At least he has claws in that game. Sorry, what was that one?
It's true, he does. Jason, do you also have an X-Men game to bring to the
showdown? Sadly not.
Yet it hurts him to bring them out. Just throw that out there. If you never played Wolverine on the NES.
All right.
It's really bad.
All right, I guess I'll begin. Developed by some Japanese guys. At a place called Grasshopper Manufacturing, this team would go on to make such things as Killer's Dead, that lollipop chainsaw thing, No More Heroes. You know, they've had some success. But before that, they produced really shitty games for the PlayStation 2. In fact, they produced a game called Michigan, Report from Hell. Designed almost as an adult Pokemon Snap, you wander around various environments where some type of disasters happened, taking pictures of various dead things in the survival horror game. That's right, the entire game pretty much takes place from your camera lens, and you gain points by taking pictures of whatever. The points eventually tally up based on what you've taken pictures of, so you can play this any way you want. It's Michigan, Report from Hell, for the PlayStation 2.
Wow. Sounds good to me. You're acting like you're not supposed to act like your game is bad. What are you doing? That sounds like fun.
No, it's great.
It's like an edgy Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
I love Pokemon Snap. That's a really
it's great.
Fun game.
You play, your character's name is the cameraman.
Perfect. That's mysterious and vague. It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
When was this game released?
2004 in Japan.
Didn't they have DVDs in 2004?
Yeah, why?
Because the viewfinder has a VHS tape at the top.
Maybe it takes place in the past. Silly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you still record on tape then.
It's not the nostalgic I'm looking for.
You're still recording on tape in 2004.
This is the nostalgia I'm looking for.
I was still recording on tape in 2009.
I was recording on tape yesterday.
Nice.
I good old mini DV. Know what tape is. I have some VHSs right there on my shelf.
There you go.
I do have to say of this game, though, it doesn't actually take place in the state of Michigan. It takes place in Chicago, Illinois.
What?
So where does the
Michigan
game come from? Wait.
The phenomena in the game centers around Lake Michigan.
But there is a Hell Michigan. I feel like they missed...
Yeah, they missed out on that.
Yeah.
Did they... Is it like lake effects?
It's like lighthouses.
There's no light. What?
There's biological weapons. There's the U.S. military.
What military in Chicago? Like, what? Have you been to Chicago?
Zaka TV.
Yeah, Zaka TV.
So I feel like this is something I would want to play.
Yeah, I want to play
because,
it.
Like, you, I mean, but, you know, Fatal Frame did a much better job. But
yeah, but this one's in Chicago.
I don't want to play Fatal Frame in Chicago, though.
Why?
I don't want to play Pokemon in Hell.
Nobody wants to do that.
Don't you? Don't you want to play Pokemon in Hell? The best part, if you watch videos of this, there's scenes... It's a baby! There's scenes where...
This is what my child thinks of your game. Way to go.
This is what happens when you bring Michigan.
You made my daughter cry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Jerks.
But there's scenes in the game where you're literally just watching people be crushed by things, and you and the rest of the porting crew just kind of stand around, and you're just like, that person's being crushed repeatedly by a door.
Wait, did you get that on tape?
Did you get on tape?
It's like a crappy
like,
TMZ.
I did, and I got 100 points for it.
All right, let's keep walking.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great.
You brought it.
Everyone really should play Michigan Report from Hell.
Really crappy.
I agree. Sounds good to me. Screw arguing. Let's just play Hell Photographer, whatever that was called.
Yeah.
Crappy Hell Photographer.
Yep. Yeah, but I...
Good. Yep.
Yeah, good job, Jason, bringing a game I haven't heard of. That's cool.
Yeah.
You,
there we go.
You do have a weird... I feel like you have a weird thing lately, though. You are, like, bringing on the obscure Japanese games. Like, you had that. And they're kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's been 100 and... What, is this 29?
28.
Yeah.
128? It's been 128 episodes.
No,
I can't keep bringing N64 games and DOS games.
That's not it. I know what's going on. I know what's going on. You are in a deep, dark place of it's the wedding planning. It's pushing you.
Ooh. Yeah, that could be it.
Like, you're projecting, my friend. Like, you think wedding planning? Ugh, hell. Then you just look up a hell game.
Ugh, it's like visiting Michigan.
I'm sure Michigan's not that bad.
I'm sure Michigan's lovely.
I've been to Michigan. It's okay. It's good spots.
Listen. Why did you both bring... Well, first, I'm happy you both brought X-Men games, because it's going to split the vote.
Yeah, and it's going to... Well, there's not going to be any splitting.
Just
it's
based on brand power?
Come on.
No, it's kind of split. They're both X-Men. Why would they even... Hunter, can I just check on one thing? Just one real quick question, and then I can talk about your game.
Yes.
The code to whatever, is that the one where you have to like hit the certain thingies in the danger room in a certain order in a certain way?
No. Close. So let me here. I actually need to pull it up because I remembered it.
Okay.
And I was like, I remember it being fairly simple. And then I have to trust me. It's if this thing would load. Here we go. All right, you ready? Unplug controller 2 before you power up your Genesis. At the title screen, hold down A, C, down, and hit start. When Magneto appears, unplug controller 1, plug it into controller 2 port, and press start. Put it back into port 1 and hit start to select a difficulty level. To the right of your position are 8 panels on the wall. Each one represents a different level. Crouch in front of the one and press C to warp to that level.
It's like a really weird debugging mode.
Now, see, my X-Men game is not nearly that complicated. Let me bring up my X-Men game's code you need to face Magneto, the final boss, once you've beaten all the regular levels. Isn't that cool? Like my game, you select the order you want to complete the levels. Then once you've beaten them all, it just kind of goes back to the regular level select screen, like, yeah, what up? But if you want to actually, like, progress to the end of the game, I'm going to pull up the code right now, see what you have to do. So once you beat all levels, except practice, you don't have to beat the practice level, but you have to beat the other levels. But highlight the practice level. Don't pick it, but just highlight it. Hold select up and B and hit start. And then you can play the last stage. Like, that's unique, right? Like, I've never heard of a game where you can beat all the levels, but then you can't play the last level unless you put in a code. Because it makes me wonder, like, they really think really highly of gamers and their intelligence to figure out, okay, I just beat all the levels. Is this it? No. I should try highlighting the practice level, holding down select up and B and hitting star. I should do that. Or maybe you would try an infinite combination of arcane mechanisms in order to try and unlock the final stage. Or maybe you would just walk away satisfied from your experience. Because really, X-Men on NES serves as an uncanny metaphor for how we should be content with the circumstances life has handed us.
Sounds like a lot of bullshit. And I'm just going to say it's the retro showdown terrible one. LJN programming.
Now, see,
your game looks awesome.
So there's a lot of problems with this game. Mainly, well, it destroyed my childhood.
Like what? Oh, how
it destroyed
so?
My childhood.
It's a game about the X-Men. X-Men's a good friend. I like X-Men. How's it destroy your childhood
X-Men.
To have an X-Men video game?
This is X-Men.
That's just it. It's not X-Men. This is a...
What do you mean?
This is like crappy... It looks like freaking Chip's Challenge meets like the worst version of Bomberman imaginable.
That sounds great. I would play Chip's Bomberman Challenge with X-Men characters.
That's
awful. That sounds amazing.
You know, I'm watching a video, and I'm going to quote one of the commenters. Viable Nutria 797 wrote 2 years ago, "This game is such a pile of shit." And I have to agree.
Like, one of the biggest letdowns is if you play a single-player game, you get a kind of a co-op companion who is controlled by the AI.
That's such a cool feature. There's not a lot of NES games that do that. That's actually kind of, I mean, that's a technical feat on the NES, really.
So, but this game proves why there aren't a lot of NES games that have that co-op AI player. It's because it's god-awful. It has no idea what it's doing. It doesn't even know where the enemies are. It can't even get past walls at certain points where you actually have to backtrack to kind of have it catch up to you. Like, it.
Lots of good games have done that. I can't think of any, but surely it's not that bad.
It was too big for its britches. It was very overzealous. And it, again, I will iterate this. It destroyed my childhood. Nothing was going to be better than playing as Cyclops in a video game. And I just cried.
Why?
I don't blame
you. Cyclops can shoot laser beams out of his face, and he can do it in the game, too.
Yeah, for only a short amount of time. And then...
I mean, Nightcrawler can't teleport, and Wolverine doesn't have claws.
True.
But Cyclops can shoot lasers.
What's with the enemies? Like,
what
you're fighting
with
springs. You're fighting springs and spiders,
yeah.
You know,
well,
pretty much anything that isn't an X-Men enemy.
They're mostly robots and machines. In fact, I think it's kind of inventive the way the levels are named. Have you ever heard level names like this? We have, here's the level names. Practice.
We went through that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Future City Street Fight. Future City is one word. Future City Street Fight. Next one. Subterranean Confrontation. I mean, that's just dramatic right there. That is like top shelf writing going on. Search and Destroy the Robo Factory. Oh, that's just amazing. That's a whole like cinematic experience wrapped in the level name. Or here we go, Battle Through a Living Starship. Yeah, never mind they can't even keep their tense agreement consistent through all the level names. Never mind that. Those are some unique, top-notch level names.
But why do I want to fight mice? Like, you're literally fighting mice. How is that a challenge
here's
to
how,
the
X-Men? Here's how I feel about this
it's
game.
It's not! Why should every enemy be invincible? I think that's a stupid idea, Jason. Why would you make a game where all the animals? The enemies are super hard to kill. Jason, you're dumb.
This game reminds me of putting Legos and making a maze out of Legos and then using action figures to kind of go through the maze to fight invisible enemies, but just a lot worse.
Now, see, go ahead, sorry.
The color schemes, everything is either brown or gray. I know this game came out early. in terms of the NES's life.
Yeah, it's an early NES game.
And, you know, obviously as time had gone on, that developers were able to actually push the limits of the NES and make a great-looking game. This is...
It's not it.
I don't understand who would think with a small amount of X-Men that are, you know, well, the core X-Men, I guess I should say, that have projectiles to make a top-down shooter of the X-Men. Like, I've never seen Colossus look so weak, ever.
But he has the highest life rating. Like, his life bar is the highest in the game.
Because...
different characters have different characteristics. That's pretty advanced for its time.
I mean, I could put numbers in front of text as well. I don't know if it's actually 100% true that they actually have different characteristics.
It is. I remember that much. I remember playing it, and Colossus takes slightly longer to die.
Because you can't hit anything with him.
Now, see, Jason, I'm gonna use your tactic against you, man. I found a review of X-Men that I'm going to read excerpts from. Let's see.
All right.
We have comments about the play control. Let's see what it says about that.
Terrible.
Let's see here. Rather than having the B button attack as in a proper NES game, instead the A button attacks and the B button hops in place. The hop is completely, utterly, and mystifyingly useless. Now, see, that's interesting. What other game can you hop in place? They could have had it do nothing. At least it hops.
Yes.
That's cool.
Could have
hop on, hot
took
miss.
Out Wolverine's blades. I think that would have been a good use for that button.
Anything.
All could I'm saying anything. Is that if you want the definitive retro X-Men game, it's the 1993 release on the Sega Genesis. I'm sorry.
No.
All of the sprites look like stuff that's recognizable.
No. See, that game
Wolverine's got claws.
Got me there.
Nightcrawler actually teleports through stuff? It's a little hard to control, but...
Damn. You know what? That sounds like X-Men to me.
Wait, I'm going to find something good about this game.
Magneto?
Let's see. And I quote, the gameplay is atrociously broken and ridiculous.
It was one of those games that you would see on the shelf, and you're like, oh my gosh, 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 it's X-Men.
Wow, maybe this game is not as good as I remember. This review was awful. The entire experience is not enjoyable and offers no replay value. That can't be good. Holy crap.
There you go.
Wow, that's...
Damn.
The music cannot even be mentioned? What does that mean?
It's not to be spoken of.
There are Atari 2600 games with better sound. That is neither exaggeration nor
the sound was awful.
It's cold, hard, measurable, quantifiable fact.
No, it did sound like an Atari 2600 game. I don't know what to say about Hunter's X-Men, because I can
it's
only
amazing.
Compare it to your X-Men, and Hunter's is
Gambit's
way better.
In it. Everybody loves Gambit. I don't know why. He's kind of kind of worthless, but yeah, you know, Gambit's in it.
All right. I'm gonna read the last paragraph of this review I found, and then I'll stop. Because this game must not be what I remember. Quote, this is a sickeningly awful video game that is of audaciously low quality. It is not fun. It is not good. There is nothing about it that can be favorably compared to even an average NES cartridge. And it offers no noteworthy gaming features.
Wow.
Could a great X-Men game have been created for the NES? Yes, but fans of both Marvel and Nintendo were betrayed with this abomination. If this video game were a squirrel, it should be tied to a tree and beaten to death. The NES version of X-Men receives a half star out of 5 and should rot in the ground like the putrid turd that it is.
I honestly think this is the first time I've ever said this on this show. But I would rather play Jason's game over Bailey's.
Damn.
And now I feel sick.
Because my game's great.
Like, sick to my stomach.
My game lets you take photos.
You did just pick, like, a creepy Japanese voyeur porn game.
It's basically an official sequel to Pokemon Snap.
It's a Japanese voyeur porn game. That's what I get out of it.
It's not. It's a gore voyeur porn game. There's no porn,
gore
just dead
porn
people.
Gore porn is totally a porn.
There's a difference.
Yeah, dead people, that doesn't stop them. Yeah, it's still going to be porn. It's still going to end up that way. It happens.
There you go.
Hunter, what kind of game is X-Men on the Sega Genesis?
It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up
game. Oh, that's like my favorite genre. Why couldn't my game?
Sounds like it's Final Argument. I don't know about you guys, man.
My heart was more broken by Ghostbusters. People say the 90s and late 80s were a great time to be a kid, but when you didn't have the internet to know how bad X-Men and Ghostbusters were on the NES, you just had to take them home and cry yourself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Those were dark times.
We were all there.
Final arguments! Hunter, why should people vote for X-Men on the Sega Genesis?
It's a good game. I mean, it is. It's a good Genesis game. It's a good X-Men game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging X-Men game. And it has probably one of the most intricate and interesting and all-appealing select codes ever. Oh, and Gambit's in it, because apparently people like Gambit. Why? Why do you like Gambit?
People...
He's got a staff, and he throws stuff that blows up.
Yeah, but
argument over.
Stuff to throw.
Done. Jason, why should people vote for Pokemon Snap 2? Welcome to Hell. Turns out it's in Michigan, but wait, it's actually in Chicago.
The official release by the Michigan Tourism Board's video game is great because it allows you to take pictures of dead things.
Sounds like such a perv.
A little bit, man. A little bit.
That's all I got.
Why you should vote for X-Men on NES? Because you can pick from your favorite X-Men, like Colossus, Wolverine, Nightcrawler. I mean, basically all the dudes. None of the chicks. It's pretty sexist, actually.
I thought Storm was in there. Storm not in there?
Just to make it sound even worse for comedic value, but you ruined it, so whatever. Ooh. And you can select whatever stage you want to play. Apparently it's not as good as I remember based on what I'm reading about it on the internet. But it's X-Men. I didn't realize someone else was going to bring an X-Men game. Sorry, we've never had that happen before. That's kind of crazy.
No.
Who knew that X-Men games were so popular in the realm of pathway choices? Whatever. I'm going to go on the record and say I'm actually going to bring a good game next week because I'm tired of this crappy every other showdown is crappy games theme. Some people might be into that, but no. Whoa. I refuse. I'm not going to become that guy. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. That's our showdown. That's our show. I want to give a special shout out to people who comment on the live stream, including Jonathan Ali, Christopher Swartz, Eric Hunter, apparently. Walter Williams, good to see you. Justin B., who I believe tuned in on his iPad, like we figured out for the show. Very cool. Glad you could make it. Dustin Faber, Edward Varnell, my friend. Always good to see you. Mega Silver X made it. Good work. Andrew Carrero was watching. Jonathan Higgins, good to see you as well. We had a few people tune in and didn't comment. That's totally cool also. We understand if you're shy. But Valerie Minnick was not shy. She made a comment. You should have won. Along with Aaron Alcorn. Good to see you. We had a great crowd tonight. Man, sorry I brought a crappy game. Just being honest.
Me too.
No, your game's good. I actually have good memories of your game.
I know it is. You don't have to tell me. I bring great games, man.
Because my game is... So, yeah, this is us. This is what we do every week. Hunter, you want to tell them about your shirt?
I am wearing the official One More Castle t-shirt that you can find only at onemorecastle.com.
/shop.
Oh, yeah, sorry, /shop.
No, it's okay, because...
I was going to say /swag, and I was like, nah, I don't think that's what it is.
Wait, Andrew, can I make that happen, please? Please.
No, please. Don't do that.
Oh,
Andrew, no. Bad answer.
Come on. Not like in place of, just as a bonus too. It's kind of like review scores. Like, I understand why you don't like them, but when you add it on to a review, how can it take away anything? But that's a whole nother. Jason, any friendly reminders? Plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And friendly reminder to tip your waiter.
It's always good.
That's always good. Andrew Carrero just said grumble, grumble on the live stream. That's really funny. For anyone who doesn't know, Andrew Carrero is the co-founder, co-owner, and technical director of omakasa.com. So he actually like built the website. So he makes a lot of the big decisions. And, it's always kind of
funny.
Yeah,
so we do what he says.
Yeah. And so when we poke fun at him and annoy him, we actually get a little scared inside. Because he's a wizard. Wizards are scary.
Yeah, terrifying.
As for me, my name is Eric Bailey. You can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_legend if you're not already. I actually started writing a new series on OneMoreCastle.com. It is the most unfriendly towards newcomer series ever. Like, you're only going to like it if you like OneMoreCastle.com already. But I figured I'd mention on the podcast, where you might be familiar with us, the series is called The Castellan's Notes, and it's actually fan fiction about One More Castle. I put the contributors, like literally like me, Hunter, Jason, lots of other people, in a medieval fantasy setting, and I wrote fiction about it. It's just as silly as it sounds, but it's a lot of fun. And to be frank, it feels good just to write something fun every once in a while, just for kicks and giggles. So check it out, The Castellan's Notes on OneMoreCastle.com. Reminder, we do broadcast a live stream every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 in some other time zone somewhere I won't know about. It's fun if you want to join us for that. Again, you can email us, podcast@OneMoreCastle.com, and review a great game day. It's on April 8th. More updates to come. We'll keep you posted, but start writing those reviews. Just celebrate a game you like. That's all it is about. And last but not least, dear audience, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.